Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, of course, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths, as most of you know, are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the distinct pleasure to also introduce the other half of our co-host tonight, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi, for that introduction. I just want to say that it is a blessing to continue to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah, and this is our 30th show. Of course, we will continue to answer the question about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and for many of you that need to know, we are going to continue over in 1 Chronicles 21. So I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the aspect of this day being solemn before you. We thank you for ourselves. We ask forgiveness if there's any sin or iniquity or transgression. And Father, we choose. We make a quality decision to walk in forgiveness with others who have wronged us, who have caused sin or iniquity or transgression against us. We submit our ways to you, and we submit our forgiveness to them right now, so that you will also forgive us of our transgressions and allow us to have that connection, that unity, that relationship, the intimacy that you promised. We desire and need desperately that intimacy, Father. So we ask you to just come in and just be the teacher to whom you are by way of the Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us to get to a fuller understanding of who and what you are and what we are to be on this earth. In Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And so for those of you who attended the show, show number 29, I'm just going to give a brief summary. We were over in 1 Chronicles 21, and Rabbi, you were letting us know how the comparison of how Yeshua, Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted by Satan himself, Yeshua passed the test. David, when he was tempted by Satan, did not. But Yah, the Father, gave him three ways out. And then David knew by the Spirit that it was better to place himself in the hands of Yah instead of the hands of man. And, of course, that's going into 1 Chronicles 21, 14 through 17. And one of the things that you told us, which I thought was very key, was that, of course, there were many things, but this one in particular, you said that the Father relents because of his love, but he never repents. And so with that being said, over in verse 18, you were pointing out how the angel of the Lord, which is Christ, he came, and when he got to the threshing floor of Ornan, who had been giving sacrifices, that's where the plague stopped. And you were pointing out to us how Ornan, we should be like Ornan, our brother's keeper, because he had already been doing sacrifices. This is the exact same place that Solomon erected the temple. And, of course, Gad, who his name means judge, he was the judge at that time. But Yah gave King David mercy. And so I'll hand the show back over to you.
Oh, amen. Oh, thank you. That was a great synopsis of where we are. All right, so with that being said, what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and turn the focus into the New Testament understanding of just how they use the Holy Spirit, the New Testament believers, and how active and how important the Holy Spirit was and is as far as the movement of the church, the effectiveness of the church, and just fulfilling every aspect to include the governmental aspect of the church. Now, we did talk about what happens when you begin to grieve. We talked about the Ananias and Sapphira situation that happened in Acts chapter 4. And that was a negative aspect. But what I want us to now turn to and then prayerfully conclude with this particular session with that particular aspect of the whole module here is I want to allow you to see how important it is for the Holy Spirit to be a part of what God is wanting to do and what God desires to do in us. So we're going to go and I'm going to have us go to, I've got a couple of places I want to go to, but we're going to go into Acts chapter 13. And and I'm going to go there with you, so I'm kind of getting mine together here so that I can kind of follow along with you. And what I want to make sure that we all get a chance to see out of this is the fact that the Holy Spirit, to the early church, the Holy Spirit was so, so important. And primarily because their desire was to fulfill the will of God. And if you understand that even Yeshua, when he was 12 years old, he said that, didn't you know to his parents that that I must be about my father's business? Mm-hmm. When he said that, at 12, he had not had all of the fullness of everything that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't had the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. He hadn't had the baptism in water yet that would commission him off into his ministry. So he was literally trying to do the Father's will, more so in his own strength than in the strength of the Holy Spirit at age 12. But here, you see, in the Antioch church, you see where Paul and others were called out specifically, prepared and called out specifically for the Father's work, but by the Holy Spirit. There's much that we can learn from understanding how to do it in the will of God, but by the Holy Spirit, as opposed to in the will of God, but in our own strength. So I'm going to go ahead and have Evangelist Tenille begin to read verse 1. And I want you guys to take note at how the early church allowed the Holy Spirit to take, that literally to take the service and begin to guide individuals into the fivefold ministry and the purpose of the Father's will. Go ahead.
Amen. Acts chapter 13, and I'm reading the New King James Version, Rabbi John. Now, in the
mm-hmm.
church.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, that was at Antioch. There were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called, I guess it's Nagor?
Yeah.
Lucius of Cyrene. Yeah. Cyrene?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, from Cyrene.
Manamin, and I'm sorry for messing up the name, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tetrarch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them out. So
okay, stop there for a second,
out.
If you will.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you see how important these main ingredients are. Okay? They were praying. And understand, back in that day, a large portion of the prayers were prophetic manifestations of sharing God's word. It was very similar to the way the psalmist David did. oftentimes they would go back into the scriptures of Psalms and they would begin to quote scripture and proclaim scripture. These were a part of their prayers. These were a part of their petitions and the manner in which they prayed and which they worshiped. A little bit different, obviously, than we do today, but yet they were very impactful and very powerful, not because of the prayers themselves, nor because of any aspect of rote reading, if you will, you know, just kind of reading it for the sake of reading it because somebody else read it. But they also had the Holy Spirit, so they were singing in Psalms and in the Spirit as well, because they all were filled with the Spirit. So a large portion of what they were doing is an important element for us today. The other thing that was really important for us to understand and to know that they also did was they had a ritual fasting habit that they did. Most, to include Pharisees and Sadducees, and Yeshua brought that out, would fast twice a week. And it would usually be within a 2 or 3 days space in which they would fast one day and then another day. But they would fast, knowing that this fast also helped to break any fleshly desires and any physical, not natural ailments, but spiritual ailments or weaknesses. It would break the yoke of that aspect so that the Spirit could really begin to minister in the way that the Father would want the Spirit to minister in our life. If we don't have a ritual fasting time or habitual fasting time, if you will, we're hindering the Holy Spirit from moving and following and fulfilling all that it wants to do in us. So we need to make sure that we understand that. We need to make sure that we give full opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what he desires. Now, in this, verse 2 and 3, we see where the Holy Spirit begins to pick out Saul for the work, for that particular part of that particular work that God had called him to. Now, in this, being most consider this one of the first missionary journeys that Paul had went on, okay? But understand that in this particular missionary journey, he was still fulfilling what was talked about and discussed in Acts chapter 15. He was still fulfilling the aspect of letting all of the churches in the diaspora, all of the churches that are in the outskirts of Jerusalem, letting them know what the Jerusalem Council had said pertaining to the worshiping of the Lord as opposed to the understanding of Torah and things of this nature. So the Holy Spirit was active in letting Paul be one of the individuals, to include Barnabas, be the individuals to go out to all of the churches and begin to share the fullness and the understanding of truth. Remember, we said that in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. So with that understanding and with the knowledge base that Paul and Barnabas already had, and the understanding of that knowledge of truth, the Holy Spirit was active in letting them know, this is the direction, this is the manner, this is the way, this is how you are to fulfill the things that you're supposed to fulfill. Do the things that we've called you, that we being Yah, called you to do. The Holy Spirit was extremely active. The question is the Holy Spirit being allowed to have all that he needs in our life so that he can be extremely active and purposeful so that we can fulfill the purpose that we've been called for? If we don't learn to give the Holy Spirit all of the ingredients that are necessary, it's going to hinder our fulfillment and fullness. It's going to cause us to not hit the mark with a spirit of excellence. And it's going to affect our well-being. It's going to affect our mindset. It's going to affect everything there is about us. Because remember, we all are called for a purpose, and the Holy Spirit was given by Yeshua, or asked by Yeshua and given by the Father, so that we can fulfill and do all that we're supposed to do. In this particular aspect here, it is letting us know exactly what we're to do. Now, as Evangelist Tanita begins to read more, one of the things I want to make sure that you pick up very quickly here is pick up the situation where the Holy Spirit does not condone an added partner in this missionary journey. You're going to see as she begins to read, especially when she gets down to 4 and 8, around verse 8, you're going to see that John Mark is not John as in the Apostle John, but it's Mark as in the Gospel of Mark. His name was John Mark, okay? But I want to make sure you pay attention to that, and the reason why is because when we give the Holy Spirit everything that He needs from us, He's going to tell us everything that we need for the journey. If we violate that, add to or take away, we're going to suffer the consequences, just like Paul and Barnabas suffered the consequences when they brought John Mark, because he became a burden to them and a burden to the mission and the call and the purpose of God. If you could go ahead and read that, Evangelist Tanita.
Okay, yes. Starting at verse 4, Acts chapter 13. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to, is this the Cilicia?
Cilicia. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Cilicia.
And from there they...
Uh-huh.
Okay. Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis. Okay. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the, is this his proconsul?
Okay, yeah, the proconsul or the deputy of the country. He was part of the higher echelon of the government of that particular area.
Thank you. Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord.
All right, if you stop there for just a second.
Okay.
All right. Now, in this particular aspect, one of the things that they say, just as a passing, they say that John, or in some other translations, John Mark, was with them. Now, as the power of God was being used mightily by Paul and by Barnabas, John Mark was with them 100%. Okay, he was there. He was faithful in the ministry with them and things of that nature. But when things got very, very difficult for them, when they began to suffer persecution, is when John Mark began to leave and literally left them and went back to Jerusalem. Now, before we get into that one of the things that I want to make sure that you understand here is it is imperative, as you see here, for our protection, for us to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit is as important as understanding how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Excuse me. And in this particular case, you see where Paul didn't act in on his own volition, but he waited. He literally waited for the right time. He waited for the Spirit of God to begin to move and to do what was necessary. You always do whatever the Lord tells you to do as you're completely filled with the Spirit. Because once we're completely filled, when the Spirit takes over you, when you allow the Spirit of God to just completely fill you up and just fill your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now remember, that's what the soul is made of, and you are a soul, okay? You let the Spirit fill your mind. When it fills your mind, there's no negativity. There's no divisiveness. There's no sabotage. There's nothing that can hinder or cause you to focus on something that you shouldn't focus on. When you begin to allow the Spirit of the living God to fill your mind, then your mind is filled with only God's purpose. That's the only thing that is there, is God's purpose. So you have to release and let go of your own desires, your own purposes, whether godly or not, so that the Holy Spirit can get you in sync with the timing. The in syncness of the timing is crucial. It's crucial. In the situation with Paul, with Bar-Jesus, it was crucial because you're dealing with a government official that God wants to have in the kingdom to give and to allow the blessings of God to manifest in the kingdom. So with that, it's so imperative, it's important that we stay in sync with the Spirit of God so that all of the manifestation of the favor of God that this man has can also help the kingdom. It can help the believers there. It can help their relationships in business and change their lifestyle from a better situation. The scriptures say that when a righteous person is in leadership, that the whole city rejoices. But when a wicked person is in leadership, it brings the city to ruin. So to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do with this official would change the whole dynamics of that particular city. So the mind had to be totally filled. Paul's mind had to be totally filled with the Spirit of God. Totally. So after that, then the will. The will. He had to want it. He had to want to do the purpose at which the Father was saying. So the mind is filled, but the will close the door and not allow the opportunity to show forth the power of God to happen, because the Holy Spirit is not going to force himself upon you. When you start sensing and feeling a spirit forcing itself upon you, you should know right away that that is not God. That is not God's Spirit. God is always desiring and wanting a willing vessel. And that willing part of the vessel is your soul willing or wanting or desiring or allowing the Spirit of God to fulfill his purpose and his call in your life. So it's imperative that we understand and that all of us get it. Just because your mind is filled with the Spirit, you can still sabotage the purpose of God in your life by not wanting to do it. That's why Jesus, and we went over this in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the crucifixion, his will had to get in check. He had to get to a place to where he said, not my will, but your will. So if we don't get to that place, then we have already sabotaged the purpose at that very moment for what Yah has for us and what we are supposed to be led by the Spirit to do. A unwilling person will not be led by the Spirit because they will fight against the Spirit. We have to make sure and understand, just because we, you know, get ourselves filled with our mind filled with the Spirit of God and the things of God, that if we still do not allow the will, his will, to have his way, then we will not be used of God to fulfill his purpose. So now, we only have one more thing to talk about here pertaining to the soul, and that is the emotion. In this particular setting, Paul not only got filled with the Holy Spirit, he got filled with the indignation of the Spirit. The anger of the Lord was upon him based upon what this man was doing, who was of a different spirit. Because it says that Bar-Jesus did everything possible within the construct of this meeting to try to hinder and distort and pollute the truth of the Hebraic gospel that was being shared. The truth. So he did the very opposite. Bar-Jesus did the very opposite to include emotionally. Emotionally, he got involved in the things of evil. Where Paul, emotionally, after yielding to with his will, emotionally got involved and proclaimed the prophetic word with force, with the force of God, not the force of man. Now, he didn't emotionally get involved physically and try to, you know, have an altercation with Bar-Jesus. But he emotionally got involved and allowed the Holy Spirit, with the force of the Spirit, to project the sentence upon this man. Because this man went away blind for some of the scriptures say, for a space of 6 months, having someone to lead him and to guide him away around because of what he had done and because he was dealing with the wrong spirit. When you get, or and I get filled with the Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit is getting ready to do a miraculous work against the spirit of darkness. Always keep that in mind. You're not filled just so that you can shout and be joyful and be happy and raise your hands and give accolades to the Lord. You're filled while you're here on earth. You and I are filled to fulfill a purpose against the evil spirit. So when you begin to sense and begin to feel the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, then you must know at that very point, God is getting ready to break the back of a demonic force, whether it be in your life, someone else's life, but it's all for the kingdom and the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, I'll close, and I'll just have Evangelist Tanita go ahead and share information as to where you can get more information about us, and then I'll pray afterwards. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. Another excellent show. Our shows are held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like your questions addressed on the show, you can email us at tjlnesbts@gmail.com. The name of the ministry is Bethlehem Ministries. There are two websites in which you can contact us at. It is, the first one is www.beph BethHashem.org. That's BethHashem.org. And the next one is our Facebook page, which is located at www.facebook.com/BethHashemMinisters. That's BethHashem Ministry. And if you would also like to attend the services, you could please email us at BethHashem@yahoo.org. That is BethHashem@yahoo.com, for directions. We also have Zuhl College. And for those that are interested in attending Zuhl College, if you would email us at admin@BethHashem.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Well, I pray that you've been tremendously blessed by the message and by this whole series pertaining to the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we thank you because you are the teacher, and we thank you that your Spirit dwells within us and it moves about us and fulfills everything that you've called for us to do. Father, help us to give you the full ingredients, fasting, meditation and prayer, and building relationships so that we can fulfill and understand the purpose, the call, and your desire. Father, we ask right now that you fill our mind, our will, and use our emotions for your glory, for your praise, and for your honor. In Yeshua's name, until the next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.